Father, we thank you for this day that that you've given to us, rain or shine, it doesn't matter. We appreciate it. I thank you for Dean. I thank you for his obedience to you. I know he's been, you've been preparing this message in his heart for days, maybe weeks. I pray that you just speak through him. And I pray, too, that we will have ears to hear the message that he's got, that you have for us through your servant Dean. Thank you, Lord, and we just look forward to a special time of hearing your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As Steve said, yes, I struggled with the message. Days of working on it and trying to decide where God was leading. And yet, even coming in this morning, I wondered, have I really heard what you have for me or what you have for the church? And then as Reggie got up here and spoke, I said, boy, oh boy. He, in about three sentences, he almost preached my sermon. And then during that video song that we sang, and I wrote down the words, flip over here the other page. Praising my own name. There's a part of the scripture this morning that's exactly what it's talking about. Is praising my own name. And I thought, whoa. So I really believe that the message that God laid on my heart was the message that he wants spoken this morning. So if you're following along in the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I won't be reading all of it, but I'll tell you as we go where we're at. But 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to say that it's an honor to be with you this morning. As a native son of this area, and as one that grew up in the Milan Church, that was my home church, but yet here in Dummer was my second home church. And I remember just up the street, many of an old home weekends, beginning with the Strawberry Festival. And I'm going to share with you, Diane was the only one yesterday working that understood this. The rest of you had no knowledge of this. My father loves strawberries, and he loves strawberry pie. He loves pie, period. And if he wasn't working and he could be up here for a strawberry festival, he was here. And so for the last 10 years since the passing of my dad, if I'm able to get up here, I always have two. One of them is for me, and the other one is for my dad. Because he would be right here, whatever it was, having strawberry shortcake. I know that was one of his favorites, but he loved the strawberry pie as well. So ladies, thank you for keeping that tradition going. And then Sunday morning, right up the street, we'd have the service. Then we'd move over to the old Willis School where we'd eat a lunch. And then we would come back to the church for a hymn sing. And the saints of this church, Junie, Aunt Josie, and it goes on. So it's an honor to be with you this morning, because there's a lot of memories that are here, at least with me. So if you want to turn to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, I'll be working with the first five verses and then moving to the 12th verse. And my plan is to end chapter 4 with the fifth verse. And again, as I felt the Lord leading me to this passage, and I wondered why. I shouldn't say I wondered why. I knew why. But this morning, through Reggie's words, through that song that was on the video, I knew that this was for today. Now bear in mind that Paul, writing to Timothy, this is what's known as a pastoral letter. Paul could have been writing this letter to Malcolm or me. You know, Paul was kind of the old man. Timothy was the young kid, just starting out in his ministry. And Paul is writing to him to encourage him to hold the faith and not back down. And so as he writes these words in the third chapter, I feel like Paul is writing to us right now, today.
Yes.
Some would say that, oh, this is 2,000 years old. That was for back then. I think Paul was standing around yesterday, the day before, the day before that, and he was writing these words for us today. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men, not the gender men, the Greek is anthropos, that's all of us. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Moving to 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Amen.
I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Now, before I go any further with this, I also want to read to you one one verse that comes out of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And here he's talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the use of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But what is the purpose of it? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the equipping of the saints. Folks, that's every one of you. So, next Sunday morning, if Malcolm turns to one of you and out of the clear blue, you're not expecting it, Malcolm calls your name and says, "Would you come up here and pray with me?" I couldn't do that. Oh, I can't get up in front of people. Folks, you're to be equipped for the ministry of the church. And you are going to be called upon to do things that you just don't feel like you're prepared to do.
That's right.
I've had people come up to me and they speak about my ability to stand up here and talk. I'm going to tell you the truth. When you're looking at the real Dean, Dean's up here, because I'm petrified. I hate public speaking. I always have. And so why does God have me up here? What if Billy Graham had said, "Sorry, I don't like public speaking." And others like him. God is calling each and every one of you. And you need to listen to the Holy Spirit. And not be afraid of how God is going to use you. So as we look at this morning's passage, to begin with, where he says, "In the last days." The last days have been going on for 2,000 years.
That's right.
From Christ to Christ's return, we are in the last days. And so what he's writing about here, Timothy had to face certain trials and tribulations. And throughout the years, when we look at the great men and women that have stood for Jesus Christ throughout the years, they have faced trials and tribulations. And it's no different today. It just seems worse today because we're living in it right now. There will be perilous times, treacherous times. We look at where our nation has come from. I was noting a couple things in our history. You realize, if my math is correct, that this Saturday we're going to celebrate our 239th birthday as the United States of America. And up until around the 1900s, we were a nation that stood by God. By faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
See, there was another thing that confirmed it, what Ray shared this morning. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the truth of the history of this nation. What were our leaders doing back then? Who were some of the greatest leaders in the American Revolution? Many of them were ministers.
Yes.
Who left their pulpits and went out and fought for this nation. Let's tell the truth about this nation. But in the last century, so many things began to change. You know, going back to the early years of education, the Bible was taught in our schools. I know you can't read it from where you're sitting. Anybody know what this little book is?
McGuffey's Primer?
The Primer.
It's a Primer. The New England Primer. This is the book that I can just picture Avis Crotto and Josie Corcoran and women like that that taught in the schools around here back in the early 1900s. They probably used one of these. Let's take a minute and look at what children learn. Now bear with me, it's Old English. So instead of an S, it's an F. So I have to get my brain working in old language here. How glorious is our heavenly King who reigns above the sky. How shall a child perform to sing his dreadful majesty? How great his power is none can tell, nor think how large his grace, nor men below, nor saints that dwell on high before his face. No angels that stand round the Lord can search his secret will, but they perform his heavenly word and sing his praises still. Then let me join this holy train and my something offering bring. The eternal God will not disdain to hear an infant sing. My heart resolves, my tongue obeys, and angels shall rejoice to hear their mighty Maker's praise sound from a feeble voice. This little book is full of passages like that. Our students, one day, learned from this book, or one like it. But then in 1925, things changed. That was the year of the Scopes monkey trial. And now all of a sudden, we need to teach something else in school, this thing called evolution. There is no God. God didn't do all this. It just happened. There's only one aspect of it I think they got right. They call it the Big Bang, and I agree with the Big Bang. God said, let it be. Bang! And it happened. No doubt about it. Finally, in the late 30s and 40s, evolution was allowed into our schools. Now, is it important for us to speak out on the issues of the day? Yes, it is. Because if we go back to when I was a student, about 5 miles down the road in the Milan Elementary School, I can remember Margaret Nichols, Virginia Flint, Mrs. Bean. We started our day with prayer. And when we went downstairs to eat our meal, grace was given before we would eat. But it was also during that very time, 1963, is when the Supreme Court came down and said, you can't be praying in schools. And people were like, that'll never happen. They'll never take prayer out of schools. Back in that time, there was respect in the schools. Did any of you ever have Josie or Avis as a teacher? You had them both. Yeah. Now any of you, a lot of you probably don't know these ladies. They were both about this tall. Now, I've heard of one story. Ray will know who I'm talking about. God lived on Milan Hill. His name was Buck Jones. Buck was a little bit wild. And Buck was a big guy. I don't want to mess with Buck. But little Avis or little Josie had no problem of going over and grabbing Buck and setting him down and making him mind. Heidi, try that today and you will be in the principal's office quicker than the child will be in the principal's office. Years later, it was said that Buck Jones made a comment that he had nothing but the highest regard and respect for Avis and Josie. Is that respect still in our schools today? You see, we took prayer out of our schools. And from that time forward, our schools have just gone down. You know, I remember as a child, remember, I don't like being up in front of people, but I had to do it. We had to get up in front and do the nativity scene in public school for the Christmas pageant. And we had to sing those songs, Away in a Me. We had to do that. And look how it ruined me for life. It ruined me. The last time I went to the Berlin High School Christmas concert, I didn't hear a Christmas song. Yeah, I heard things they call Christmas music. Jingle bell, jingle bells, jingle bell rock. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But I did not hear anything about the birth of Jesus Christ. Oh no, we can't have that in our schools. And then we wonder why there are school shootings. We wonder why our kids act the way they act. Well, Paul gives us a lengthy list. And if I try to explain every one of these, how much time do I have, Malcolm? If I get till about 3 this afternoon?
Yes.
Because that's how long it's going to take just to do verses 2, 3, and 4. I don't think I need to explain them all. I think you understand them. Lovers of themselves. What's our world like today? You know, turn on your TV and watch a commercial. You deserve a break. Have it your way. It's all about me. Satisfying me. I'm the one that's most important. And if that means walking all over you to get what I want, it's okay. We've been called the me generation. Lovers of money. Look at our world today. I think back to my father's generation. And when you took a job, how many people worked at, forget the name of the company, it had several names, but it was still the same location. Brown Paper Company. And they went to work there when they were 18, 19, 20 years old, and they retired from there when they were 65 years old. 40, 45 years they worked for Brown Company. Not anymore. And it's not because the mill is gone. I go to work for your company for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden I find a company down the road. They'll pay me $1,000 more a month. And they'll give me one more week's paid vacation. And two more paid holidays. I'm going to jump ship. Why do I want to stay working for you? It's all about money. When I was a kid, Kyle Yastrzemski did his entire career with the Boston Red Sox. Not anymore. How many of us, if you happen to be a Red Sox fan, have been upset when one of our star players takes a contract with that team in New York City? And then he'll turn around and cut his hair off because he's not allowed to have long hair. Money. Because we're lovers of money. Boasters. Proud. When that song was being played, and those words, praising my own name. Isn't that what it's about today? Look at me and how good I am. I'm the best at whatever it is. We boast, and we have so much pride. I mean, there's good pride and there's bad pride. When our children come home with 100 on the report card, you bet I'm proud of my kids. Mm-hmm. And when my child is playing a sport and they get up there and do something, whether it's hit a home run, drive in the winning run, of course I'm proud of my kids. But then there's a bad pride. When I think of myself far more highly than I ought to. Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, said, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The word is all, not some. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, I can't be proud of me because I'm a sinner. And Paul even said it. If I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast in my Savior Jesus Christ. Because that's the only thing I've got to boast about. Disobedient to parents. I looked at that one and I thought, it goes way beyond even disobedient to parents. You know, I think back when my dad told this story many times. Again, you old dumber folks will know who I'm talking about. There was a guy up here, his name was Eddie Moulton. Eddie was about yay high, and Dad was about yay high. And there was this new toy that the schools had. It was called a dodgeball. How many of you played dodgeball? Yeah. My dad and Eddie get into a fist fight over the dodgeball. I don't remember now which teacher it was, but that teacher went out and grabbed the two of them, brought them into the classroom. And I don't know if it was some kind of a yardstick or what it was, but they both got it. The following day, Eddie came to school about a half an hour late. And when he walked into the classroom, the one-room classroom, he had a great big armload of switches that he'd been picking up on his way into school. And Eddie walked up to the teacher's desk and he said, "Teacher, I brought these to you because I thought you might want to lick me again today." Eddie knew. He knew that that teacher demanded his respect. He did wrong. My father did wrong. And they were reprimanded for it. And they took it. Unlike today. Heidi, you haven't got a single right to touch my child. And if you do, you know what's going to happen.
All your children were good, so. No problem. Your children were a joy, right, Sam?
He's going to stay silent. But if there's a child that's giving you a lot of problems, you're very restricted on how you handle things. Because our kids today aren't taught to respect their elders. Unthankful. There's something that drives me nuts. If I'm down, you know, it could be any city, but because we live here, if I'm in downtown Berlin and I'm at one of the crosswalks and I'm waiting to cross, somebody is kind enough, they stop, I always make sure to wave. Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to cross this street. Have you ever seen anybody, you stop and you're allowing them to cross and they just turn their head and they just cross the street?
They're usually not running. They're usually walking. They're walking
slow. Very slow. Very slow.
Unthankful. And that's a minor thing. But how many things, you know, when you're in the grocery store, do you thank the clerk? Do you thank the cashier? Wherever you are, do you thank people for whatever they do? But we live in a society where a thank you just doesn't come out anymore. Well, this list goes on. You get the idea. I want you to go home and I want you to study this list and think about the world we live in today. Because it's describing our world today. And then there's church. Malcolm, I'm sure hoping I'm not describing this church. Well, I'm not here every week. Malcolm can better answer the question. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. You know, we put on the show. We sing the hymns. We say a prayer. Do we believe that if we pray for God to move, to bring a big storm and get those ships to not come into our shores? What do you think? Does God have the power to do it?
Yes.
It's a conversation Steve and I have been having over the last couple of weeks. As far as getting the hay in, this weather does not cooperate well. And I looked at Steve and I said, Steve, all God has to do is go. And those clouds will part. I told him the other day that my prayer is that those clouds will part. Half of them will go down the Connecticut River and the other half will go down the Androscoggin River. And the only place it's going to rain is on the Connecticut River and the Androscoggin River. And the fields on both sides will stay dry. Can God do it?
Yeah.
But we don't believe in the power of God. We say we do, but do we really believe it? Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Moving to 12. He says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You ever sat in a church and heard somebody make the statement or something similar to this? If you're a Christian, you're never going to face any trials and tribulations again. Elaine, can I pick on you for just a moment? Thank you. You know I love you, Elaine. Have you ever had anybody walk up to you? This happened in my family with my grandmother when she was dying of cancer. Have you ever had anybody walk up to you and say, if you had enough faith, God would heal you? It's because you don't have enough faith, Elaine. Oof. Oh, that people would even say something like that. God didn't say we were going to have a bed of roses. It might be a bed of roses, but any rose bush I've been around, it's full of thorns. Those flowers are beautiful. You ever gone up and tried to pick off a couple of the flowers so you can bring them into the house? Ouch! Get a couple thorns stuck in you. And there's a lot of thorns out there. God didn't promise us we were going to go through this life and not have problems. We are going to have the problems. The question is what do we do with it? As I've thought about the police shootings and what has gone on there. First off, for me, they've got one thing wrong. It's not the matter of Black Lives Matter. It's a matter of human life matters. Whether you're white, whether you're black, whether you're Asian, I don't care what you are. I even pose this question. If black lives matter, then why are black lives aborted? Because I think those lives matter too. But I don't hear anybody speaking about that. And then following these shootings, we've seen the riots, the looting. One of the parents of a deceased out there promoting it, pushing it on, urging, go out and burn buildings down. I was so pleased a week ago. Not because 9 people lost their lives, but that the people of Charleston, South Carolina, the members of that congregation, would get out there and say, we forgive you. I forgive you. May God have mercy on you. What a difference. What a difference when we have the love of Jesus Christ. Do we condone that 21-year-old's actions? Of course we don't. Will there be persecution? Yes. That church faced persecution. But they showed the love of Jesus Christ. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's the world we live in. It's getting worse. And folks, it's not going to get any better. Not in this life. But are you here for this life?
It's a blip.
I'm a citizen in heaven.
That's right.
And I'm waiting for that day when I'm with Jesus Christ forevermore. When we're not going to face any of this stuff that's going on around us. When Elaine, we're not going to have to hear those words, cancer. Never again. And when I know that we're going to be gathered together around the throne of Jesus Christ for eternity. Diana Ray, help me out. I think, Ray, you were the one that was there when Uncle Ernest was dying. And he laid there in that hospital bed, and it was like he was visioning or whatever. And he saw a number of people from this town that had gone on before. And it was like he was arriving in heaven. And I can't, again, you probably can tell me the names of the people, but he was probably going up and saying, Robbie, Effie, oh, I haven't seen you since. Josie, oh, it's so good to see you, Josie. And that's what I'm waiting for. Hallelujah. To be with my brothers and sisters in Christ for eternity. Do we trust Christ? Do we believe that that's what's going to happen one day? Verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Hey, it was a day when our children used to learn this. I tell my Sunday school teachers, you teach those kids the Lord's Prayer. You teach those kids who Moses was, who Noah was. Do they need to know the deep theology behind it? No. Hopefully we got a lifetime to learn the theology behind it. But walk up to a child today. Have you ever prayed the Lord's Prayer and have a child, and now adults? What's that? What are you saying? They don't even know the Lord's Prayer. They don't even know who Noah was or Moses. Because we don't teach it anymore. And why do we learn these Holy Scriptures? Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. There's the answer. We're sitting here with when they come out with these comments, we have to eliminate guns because guns kill. Well, I agree. And we ought to get rid of automobiles because automobiles kill.
Big Macs kill.
So we ought to get rid of them. What do you say? Let's get rid of all of our cars because they kill people. It was on the news this past week. One of the southern towns in our state. A hit and run. And somebody died. Automobiles kill. No. People. People behind the wheel of those automobiles. And people holding some form of a weapon kill. But you see, the answer is not in getting rid of automobiles. The answer is not in getting rid of weapons. The answer is Jesus Christ. Because I can look around this room and I'm not afraid to be with you folks because I'm not worried about you pulling a gun out on me. Because you got faith in Jesus Christ. So what do? How do we handle all this? Well, at the beginning he says, all Scripture is given for inspiration, by inspiration of God. So in other words, when somebody throws out that old line, this was written by man. Moses, Paul. No, it wasn't. It was penned by them. But the inspiration was the Holy Spirit. God. It's of God. Every single word from beginning to end is of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we can take what we want here in the Bible and look at it, study it, and it is to teach us how to live for Jesus Christ. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Oh, I can't get up in front of people and do that. Study this. You know, when I entered first grade, I couldn't read, I couldn't write, I didn't even know my alphabet. And I'm not saying I was one of those students, school was a pain in the neck. I hated school. Amazing thing happened though. I learned to read, I learned to write, I learned my alphabet. I had to work at it. I mean, as parents, how many of you have ever said, I don't want to do my homework? And you're not going to learn. But a good parent says, you're going to your room and you're going to study. You're going to do your homework. I can read and write today. Wow! You want to get equipped to do the ministry of the work of the church? This is your owner's manual. This is your instruction book. It's the only thing you need to show you the way. And so where do we go from here? We got all this stuff going on around us. I hear the tears of Melinda this morning. What do we do about it? Paul's going to tell you what to do. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Now, you may not be up here as a pastor or whatever preaching the word on Sunday. But when somebody comes up to you and makes some comment about some terrible thing that this world is doing, how many of you share Jesus Christ? How many of you share the truth of Scripture? You know, when people will say, God changes, God's thinking is changed. What if I were to turn to Exodus and I were to look into your eyes and say, I know that it says, thou shalt not commit murder. God has changed his mind on that. He understands that it's a necessity of life. He accepts it today. I would hope one of you would take your boot and kind of make sure I head that direction. That word is still just as important today as it was thousands of years ago when it was penned by Moses. God's word has changed. And God is calling every one of you to be out there. First off, you have to read it, you have to study it, you have to understand it. And then be willing to go out there and tell the truth. He continues in verse 2, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Folks, that's every one of you. No one's exempt. Go out there and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Share the truth of the Scriptures. You know, when you look at the Constitution of the United States, you know, if they're going to stand there and say we have to have separation of church and state, and we can't have anything that sounds biblical in our laws, then they're going to have to remove any law that says murder is illegal. Because that's biblical. And so I believe it also said, thou shalt not steal. But that's biblical. We've got to remove that from our laws, our constitution. Because that's biblical. We can't have that. What do you think our founding fathers were doing? They understood. Many of them were Christians and they understood His Word. And they put that stuff in there because they wanted us to live the Christian life, the godly life. And finally, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Isn't that today? How dare you preach that? How dare you say that? Emily and I want to find, it was a gentleman we saw on Fox and Friends. Was it yesterday morning or Friday morning? I guess he's written a book, something about, I'm offended by people that are offended. Sounds stupid, and it is. But isn't that the world we live in? I don't like this kind of shirt. I'm offended by it. I don't think you should wear it. Anything I can find to be offended about. Well, I'm offended that you're offended. I went on and I tried to find it and I couldn't find it, Emily. But if any of you happen to catch that and get the guy's name, let us know. They don't endorse sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And that's what we have right now. They're in Washington, they're in Concord, and they're in many pulpits. Because there's many a pastor that will deny the truth of Scripture. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. This is the truth. And they've turned away from it. And be turned aside to fables. And that's where our nation is at. We're following the fables rather than the one that counts. So finally he says to you, be watchful in all things. Don't be naive as to what's going on. Be mindful of it. You know, the day is at hand. Malcolm and I were having this conversation just the other day. I want you to listen to this. This man is my brother. And there's no one I enjoy more than getting together with. I'm not the brightest person in the world. And I oftentimes, Malcolm, I'm struggling with this passage. You got any insight on it? I love to talk to Malcolm. Folks, listen to this man. He's trying to teach you, to equip you, to do the ministry of the church, of the saints. Listen to him. Endure afflictions. I think that's what's happening in South Carolina. They are enduring afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Folks, get out there and evangelize. Somewhere out there, there's going to be a person that's going to eventually come and they're going to say, because you are willing to share your faith with me, I have come to know Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But if you say, oh no, I can't do that,
I'm not able to do that. I'm not called to do that. I haven't been taught to do that. Then you're not listening to be a pastor. Because I know your pastor is teaching you and equipping you to do the ministry. Listen to him. Fulfill your ministry. Where is God calling you? You may be working at some company out there. Share your faith. I got a good friend. I'm out to know him. He is a colleague of mine, pastor. And he was in a particular church that didn't like his preaching, so they just said, "You're fired." And I forget now, it's been approximately 10 years he's been driving a Greyhound bus. Trailways bus. He's got the Boston to, I believe, Portland run. You know what he started doing? He started preaching to the other bus drivers. He has a ministry in Trailways, and he has bus drivers coming to him to learn about Jesus. You see, God can use you. God can use you right where you're at, whatever you're called to do. Even if you're driving a bus, God wants to use you. Fulfill your ministry. There are no excuses. God is equipping you. The question is, what are you going to do with it? There'll be a test on this.
There always is. You just don't know it.
Next week, Reggie's going to be up here, and all of a sudden, he's going to choose one of you out of the clear blue, and he says,